This is Fufara, where the little things are a big deal. Coming at you from our rooms, I mean studios, in Seattle and Dallas. We're your hosts and lifestyle gurus, Maddie and Tara.
Okay, now I think we're recording.
Okay, we're ready.
Yeah, we're ready. Wow. Take a deep breath.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
One person who watches this. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for watching. Listening, to be more specific. Right. Yeah, listening. Welcome to the inaugural show of Fufara. For those of you who don't know, it's hosted by me, Tara Vasan.
Yes. And me, Maddie.
Yes. Hello, everyone. in case you don't know how to spell Fufara, which is okay because I didn't either, it's F.
I didn't even know what the word meant.
I know. Yeah. But it's such a very interesting, fascinating, funny word that I think is very apropos for what our show is going to be about. Yes, apropos.
Tara, we're on some break right now. I can't take all these like fancy words.
You know, William and Mary never leaves you, and we're two intellectuals. And it's great that our intellectual conversations now are open to the public. We should charge for this kind of content, you know?
It's like Einstein and Isaac Newton, like, in a room. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, a lot for people,
Mm-hmm. So take it one episode at a time.
Sorry, continue.
You'll find that we like to digress a lot, but that's the beauty of the show. But Fufara, Fofafaraw, is a word that I think originated from the South, and it's a word that means much ado about nothing, or a big fuss over small or minor or trivial details. And right now, I think our whole purpose of the show is making small details into big things that we tackle, and we're trying to show them that there's so much beneath the surface, you know?
Yes.
Tip of the iceberg.
It is very apropos.
Apropos! There it is again. Yes, exactly. Apropos. If Fufara wasn't the name of our show, I think our show would be named Apropos.
Yeah, it kind of rhymes too. It's very fitting. Yeah.
Yes. I heard Fufara in the Disney classic movie Apple Dumpling Gang, if you've ever, I highly recommend it.
No, that's just you.
That's just me?
No one else on this planet has ever heard of this movie, Tara.
Well, it's a classic, not just by my standards, but a lot of people, and you will learn that I am a film/chocolate connoisseur.
Mm-hmm. But it's not on Disney Plus.
It is. Because it's a classic, Maddie.
It is on it.
Disney too agrees that it is a classic.
That was the real test. Then I suppose, yes, it is.
Yeah, and it passed. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. All right.
Okay, should we get to our first story of
our
the day?
Our first story, yes, let's get down to business, which is also a Disney reference from Mulan.
Yes, I like that. We fit them in whenever we can.
Yes, we can. Yes, we will.
Well, the reason why we are able to record this in the afternoon on a Friday, Tara, is because we are on extended break right now.
Really?
We are, in fact.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, I don't know if you knew this, because the coronavirus is sweeping the world, not even the nation. Which is very sad, and we can't ignore it because that's why we're recording this. Mm-hmm. And we just found out yesterday about the fact that we're going to be online the rest of the semester.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. I feel so bad for our seniors. Like, it's just so crazy. I mean, this is going to be something that's in the history books. Like,
exactly.
A where were you moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you're young and healthy, you still have to be inside, right?
Yeah, I've been trying to find ways to keep myself occupied and busy around the house, and that has nothing to do with actually doing work or productive stuff. Of course, that is off the table for me. But I found my brother's Lego set, and I'm building rectangular houses. So I think I may switch my major to becoming an architect because I just have a God-given talent for building rectangular houses from Legos.
They're just houses that are rectangularly shaped.
Yeah, and you know, Maddie, they're just so geometrically complex. I wouldn't expect a lot of people to comprehend it, but
I applaud you for actually going out there and doing something, because I've done very little.
I applaud myself too.
I mean, this is, you know, we really are living one of these moments that are going to be recorded in history. People are going to ask us about, and, you know, it's very strange. And it makes me realize that, like, you know, I think it's also something that's very unifying, right?
Yes.
It's like everyone's having this common experience, no matter your race or sexuality or political affiliation, everyone's having the same experience. And, you know, in a way, it's kind of bringing us together to fight this kind of common enemy. So, you know, I'm just trying to look at the bright side of it.
Yeah, but hear, hear.
What should we talk about next? Let's talk about your squirrel conspiracy.
Squirrel conspiracy? It's not a conspiracy, Maddie. It's a fact.
Okay, your squirrel fact.
For the longest time, squirrels and I have not gotten along. And
squirrels are the ones at William & Mary. This is important.
Particularly the ones at William & Mary. They are a cruel species. Yes. They are, as I like to say, nature's assassins.
Nature's assassins.
Are yes. They have malicious intentions, mm-hmm. and they're government spies just because of their natural ability to creep everyone out. I just don't trust that. I just don't like the way they move. It makes me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I think the government hires mm-hmm. squirrels to keep an eye on people. They can climb trees and look in through windows. They can break in by just, I don't know, digging holes.
And what are they looking for?
Oh, Maddie, just name something. They're looking for everything. They're looking for dirt on us as humans. And one of these days, we shouldn't be afraid of artificial intelligence. We should be afraid of SI, squirrel intelligence, okay? Because one of these days, they're going to get tired of working for the government and then just overthrow us. It'll be nuts.
Indeed.
And have you noticed that there are no rabbits on campus?
See, this is the second part of the theory, and I can debunk this because I have personally seen, I think, 2 rabbits in Williamsburg. So
two is not enough to disqualify this argument.
Okay.
I would be happy to. I have seen armies of squirrels every day just asserting their dominance on campus for no apparent reason, and it's needless. And I've only seen 1 rabbit on campus, and I've roamed the campus for almost a year. So I feel it's a bit suspicious and weird that you see all this vegetation and lush greenery around you, but no rabbits.
Yeah, and I mean, now that you've awakened me to this reality, mm-hmm. it is rather strange. And I just looked up what a group of squirrels were called, because I thought an army of squirrels would be pretty good, but it's a scurry.
Exactly. Scurry sounds much more suspicious and peculiar.
Like they're scurrying around. Like
it just sounds ominous.
Right at everybody. It does sound ominous, yes.
Yeah. Scurry. Ugh.
Ugh. They are scary. Like, I have had multiple instances where I'm walking around campus, and I get out of the way. Like, I see a squirrel, like, 5 feet ahead, and I, like, actively avoid it. Because they are running everywhere. They have more energy than anything or anyone I've ever seen. Like, you don't know what they're unpredictable. You just don't know what they're going to do.
Exactly.
And they're very shifty. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, every school's got their thing.
Yeah.
And definitely squirrels are our thing.
I suspect that rabbits are the squirrel's natural adversary. Right. And the government struck a deal with the squirrel saying that we can give you free range on the William & Mary campus as long as the rabbits are kept at bay and are moved and relocated to somewhere else, so there wouldn't be as much conflict.
Where did they go?
Who knows? I feel sometimes that they're trying to send me messages.
Uh-huh.
You know, like,
can I talk to you?
Exactly. And we can't ignore their pleas for help.
Okay. So the bunnies are like the good guys.
The bunnies? Why would a bunny ever be malicious? A bunny has done nothing, is capable of no harm. They just multiply.
This is true. This is true. I hadn't thought of it like that. But yeah, definitely if I was faced with a choice of a squirrel or a rabbit, I'd definitely choose a rabbit for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we'll keep you updated on this, the progression of this theory.
Well, what have I told you, Maddie? It's not a theory. It's a fact. It's a fact.
It's fact.
I demand for it to be recognized as a fact.
Yes. But yeah, you came up with this a while ago. It just spoke to you. Like, this is one of the first things you were telling me about.
I think they made me their messenger.
Yeah, you are the mouthpiece. For
rabbits.
For the rabbits.
I'm sure there's a better way we can phrase that.
Well, I don't think there is. I think
I'm the voice. I'm like the Lorax. You know, he speaks for the trees. I am the Rabax. I speak for the rabbits.
Wow. Yeah. That's an honor.
It is an honor. It's also very dangerous because a lot of squirrels have me on their blacklist. So.
Right. They know you. They know who you are, and you have to avoid that area. Mm-hmm. Well, luckily, you know, we won't be there for a while, so.
Yeah.
Okay, now we have to talk about, I think you know, it's time to talk about.
Oh, yes, the elephant in the room. The
elephant in the room. We were all thinking of it. The Emoji Musical.
The Emoji in the Room, pardon me.
Emoji in the Room, which is the emoji of a big elephant. Okay, so what is this? So, let's explain. So this is called Emoji Land the Musical, and the cast album just came out like last month, and it is not affiliated with the Emoji movie. These are different things, except they both involve emojis. It's called Emoji Land. I think I mentioned that. It just has to be said multiple times to be believed. Emoji Land the Musical. All these emojis, and they live in a smartphone, and they're like scared of the update that's gonna happen. Which I have not seen the Emoji movie, but from what I've heard of the Emoji movie, this looks the same, but they are different apparently. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna read you the description on YouTube for this musical. Emoji Land is an electric ensemble piece about a diverse community of archetypes who take one another at face value. You get it?
Wow. Another pun.
Smiling. That's good. A smiling face dealing with depression. A princess who doesn't want a prince. A skull dying for deletion. A nerd face too smart for his own good. A face with sunglasses who can't see past his own reflection. And a police officer and construction worker who just want to work together. When a software update threatens to destroy life as they know it, Emoji Land faces the most fundamental questions a society and a heart can face. Who are we and who matters? The smiley face emoji on your phone, according to this musical, is depressed. Okay, I'm going to play this trailer.
Yes, please do.
Okay. Oh, yeah, there's a poop emoji, too.
I like her costume.
Yeah, her costume is actually pretty clever.
I think we should also talk about the complement to this, like a kind of something to contrast this, which is cats.
Right.
But they made it into just a mortifying movie.
Well, you like the musical, because I didn't see, like, did you see it?
I've never seen it on Broadway, but I've seen it as a whole, like, as a musical, filmed as if it were a musical, just before, so I haven't seen the movie, but I have seen the musical filmed, and although I find the idea of humans portraying cats a bit off-putting, I did like some of the songs, and I appreciate the artistry that went into producing and directing the show, but The movie just seemed like a very far-fetched idea, and I've heard people describe it as a 10th circle of hell. What do you think? You actually saw the movie.
I had the displeasure.
The displeasure.
Of watching Cats, and it is an hour and a half I will never get back of my life. Like, aww. I know I'm dramatic, but it was awful. Like, really awful. Like,
oh my god.
And it's just like boring, awful. Like I went because I didn't think it was gonna be good, right? Mm-hmm. I went with some friends. I was like, oh, this is gonna be hilarious. No, it was just like bad. It was just like bad and boring. And I was like it was probably the worst movie I've ever seen. Like, just bizarre. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just thinking the whole time, like, why did they sign up for this? Like, Judi Dench is out here telling me, like, my cat, I need to listen to, like, my cat's name, something about, she looks at right in the camera at the end. She's like, you need to listen to your cat. Your cat is like, wants a name or has a name or has three names, something about naming your cat. And I'm just like, I was just like waiting for it to end so bad. I was just like, please stop talking, Judy, because I need to leave. Like, oh my god, it was so bad.
You actually survived though, and
I should get like a t-shirt, like
I survived Cats. Yes,
yeah. I really should, because that would justify the ticket price, maybe. Mm-hmm. If I like a t-shirt out of it, maybe. But
wow, what a catastrophe.
It was a catastrophe.
Exactly.
So, what would you buy if you were, like, you had, like, billions of dollars?
That's really a good question.
I would buy a movie theater.
I like that idea.
Screen a bunch of movies that I liked.
I think I'd buy Godiva.
Okay.
Or like a cacao plantation and try to develop
a cacao plantation. Is that called a farm? A cacao plantation?
No, Maddie, farm is a crude term when you're talking about chocolate.
Okay.
A chocolate is a very delicate process to make. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And also to harvest. The mm-hmm. cacao plant, the sacred cacao plant. And I'm going to look into investing my money to see whether there could be a white cacao plant one day, because white chocolate is my favorite type of chocolate. And yes, it is a very real chocolate.
I didn't say it wasn't.
Your face said it all.
But you would choose, okay, we got to talk about this now. Godiva.
Godiva.
I always pronounce it Godiva because I'm uneducated.
Mm-hmm.
Godiva.
A common mistake.
Common mistake.
But yes, it's Godiva.
Godiva. Okay. Over Lindt or Ghirardelli or any of the other ones. So why is that one the best one?
Have you tasted it?
Yeah. Yeah, I tasted it. My stupid tongue can't like decipher between the nice mm-hmm. chocolates. It's all just like Hershey mm-hmm. and not Hershey to me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, some people are piano virtuosos. Some people can dream of mathematical equations in their head. I was gifted with chocolate, knowing chocolate, understanding chocolate.
So if we did like a taste test.
Yes.
And we blindfolded you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to tell what company it was from?
I would.
Oh my, that's quite a claim.
I've been to many a chocolate tasting in my day. Okay. Would you like yours dark? Milk or white? Yeah.
Yeah, so you're a white chocolate person then?
I am.
Okay. Well, we'll need to test that sometime where we blindfold do. You and like make you taste chocolate. That would be the best day ever, wouldn't it?
I can also, well, this is an overstatement, but sometimes I think I've convinced myself that I can taste the percentage of cacao in, you know, like 50% dark like chocolate, 70% dark chocolate.
Oh yeah. My gosh. Okay, we'll see. Like the technical level, I would be astonished if you knew you could memorize it. So we'd have to like really surprise you, because mm-hmm. we wouldn't want you memorizing the ingredients or anything like that. But we would like, yeah, taste test, and you would tell us what percent of it's real chocolate, whatever, real cocoa bean, right? Is that how they word it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Sure. You have like the best taste buds out there.
Thank you. I was blessed. What else can I say? I can also taste like different water brands. So I can tell if it's Dasani or Aquafina or Evian.
Yeah. Okay. We definitely need, now I'm like amazed. We actually have to do a taste test. Could you tell between like Fiji, like all the different brands?
It had to be the brand. Well, it has to be brands that I'm very familiar with. I am not, since I'm poor, I haven't really encountered Fiji all that often. But
that's true. I haven't had Fiji all that often either. But when I do have it, I always feel very sophisticated, very much like a celebrity. It's so weird too. It's just water. How does water like get that kind of status symbol?
I don't know. I guess it's because it's universal. It's very enigmatic. It's made out of like two different elements.
Right.
And
what are the elements? Like air and fire? Like what?
I almost failed chemistry. So hydrogen and oxygen.
I was thinking like the four elements like from Avatar.
Getting into Avatar territory.
I don't know anything about Avatar other than that. That's it.
Firebending, water.
Taught me the elements. I didn't need to go to chemistry or anything like that. I already knew the elements, so
yeah. Exactly. Wow.
See, there's my theory, though. If you increase the price on something, it just becomes, you know, a luxury item. And your view of it, like, becomes more like because Fiji's, like, $5 a bottle or something, you're just like, oh, my gosh, like, that's for the celebrities. Like, that's for the rich people, you know?
Yeah.
Becomes very exclusive.
And the packaging.
Right, and the nice packaging. Very sleek. What about boxed water? Wasn't that Jane Smith's thing? Where, like, he, like, was going to team up with boxed water or something?
Usually associate boxes and cartons with milk, but it's a new trend, which is I think aims to be environmentally friendly. So
yes, okay, I googled it, and he has a brand called Just Water that looks just like water.
That's what else would they put in water usually?
Electrolytes. I don't know what that means.
Preservatives.
No, I don't know what electrolytes are or what they do. Something about sweating, something about exercise.
Gatorade.
I picture them like little like fireflies like in your water.
Exactly. Me too. Yeah.
But I couldn't taste the difference between like tap and like Dasani. But well, I definitely want to test your taste buds at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Okay, should we what topic would you like to discuss next?
Oh, that's a good question.
I have that topic on that woman who, I don't even think it's political, right? I don't think it's political. I think it's pretty bipartisan. This is pretty weird. This woman, she's a Washington Post columnist. Her name is Jennifer Rubin. And she said that Republicans were going to be more likely than Democrats to die of the coronavirus because Republicans watch Fox News, and Fox News, in her opinion, is not portraying the coronavirus, as an emergency, and therefore Republicans are going to be ill-prepared and they're going to die, versus Democrats, and this is her quote, "Which party immediately canceled all of their rallies? Which party immediately started having their political figures really portray and use their lies as an example?" I think she meant lives. Lies as an example. The Democrats. So I hate to put it this way, but there will be less Democrat deaths because there will be less mass gatherings. So, like I said before, Jennifer, this is a time that we can all come together as Americans and fight this thing. And it's not, the virus doesn't discriminate, right? I mean, truly. It doesn't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat, right? And to just put it in these terms of like, oh, if you're a Republican, you know, then therefore you're watching Fox News, which is like super dumb, and therefore you're going to die because of that. And the Democrats are so smart, and they're actually like, you know, taking efforts to stop the virus, and therefore they're going to let, I mean, just like, why put it in those terms? That's so unhelpful. It's divisive, and it implies that Republicans are dumb. And I think that's really stupid. I mean, just we're all out here just trying to survive and make it. And Jennifer, that was not helpful. So yeah, this has been a very serious discussion here.
I know. I didn't think Foo for All was capable in our first episode of tackling such.
So, okay, I have a question for you that's less serious.
Yes.
You don't have social media.
I don't. I live in a cave.
I think, I know, but I like that, though, because I've thought so many times, I'm like, I need to delete Instagram, you know? I'm on it all the time. How do you do it? Like,
why I guess.
Tell me.
My mom puts the fear of God into me on multiple occasions. So I think from a young age, I've been brought up with a very strict, not censorship, but I guess I was just not brought up with social media. I was never really introduced to it. And despite everyone else having an account, I'm lazy, so I never really wanted to go out and get one.
Right.
And I also have nothing interesting to post, too. So it just seemed like extra work I was creating for myself. Mm-hmm. But I do not like being disconnected all the time, because it takes me a long time to catch up with the news and what's happening in the world. I used to think Instagram was a unit of measurement, like used for space, before I found out that it was.
You didn't know it was a social media site?
Before I found it was a social media site. Oh, that's how ignorant I was.
It was like using rulers on their phone?
I just thought Instagram, wow, they found a new way to measure, I don't know, stars, like, in the universe at, like, such gargantuan proportions can be now quantified. Wow, that's great. And people are really taking an interest in it. But no, it's not.
No. Do you ever want to have one? Like, now that...
Maybe one day if I learn how to cook well, or if I ever know how to contour my face correctly.
Right.
Something. To show the world.
That so fascinates me when I heard you didn't have social media, because it just feels like a given that everybody would have it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And want to use it. And it is a little bit, I think, yeah. I sound like an old person, but it is, I think, a little bit of an addiction, because it's like, once you start, I feel like, oh, if I stop now, like, I'm going to be missing out on all these connections that I've mm-hmm. made with so many people. But it's like, how many connections can you really have over, like, a social media site, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It really fascinates me.
Yeah.
What
was I going to say? Oh, yes. Also, the new lingo that I think teens used. Yeet. We had a conversation about this earlier. I only recently understood what a yeet or yeet was, like Y-E-E-T, for those of you who are equally unsure, like me. But I think it's just like an exclamation, like hark, or
I'd say that's the way I see it.
Specifically applied to when you're throwing things,
right?
Yes.
You know,
I thought it was a vegetable.
Rhymes with beet.
Yeah. It seemed like a very exotic vegetable, like, that would be made for making some kind of soup or something, like extract of yeet.
Yeah. This is probably where our conversations go, and this is why we wanted to film them, because we'll talk about something serious for, like, 10 minutes, and then we'll mm-hmm. be on yeet. And if it's a vegetable, and the world needed to see it, because I feel like everybody I know has social media, and it's like, you can be a teenager and an adult and not have social media. That sounds so old of me, but I really, like, I don't know.
It's just, I guess I'm living proof. I'm the eighth wonder of the world.
That's right.
But it's no secret that I kind of live under a rock, you know, which I guess one day I'll branch out. I'll find new things.
I don't think that's true. I mean, you went across the country to go to school. I mean,
you're right.
You were exposed.
I live under a very big rock.
And the whole country.
It's a flexible, expansive rock.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the shells on turtles that they always bring.
Yes, exactly. That's, I didn't know, I don't know why I didn't say shell earlier. It's a shell.
That's what you remind me with your hat.
I got it from Epcot. Definitely. I'm wearing it for good luck for our first show.
Yeah. And it kind of reminds me of, like, a shell. I don't know.
Whenever I am feeling down, I just wear this over my head and I instantly feel better. My spirits are lifted.
The heavy blankets people wear, you know those?
Yeah.
When they, like, get anxious. How does that work? Like,
I don't know. I think it kind of psychologically, and this is far-fetched, but it kind of resembles a hug in a way, like someone encompassing you with warmth, and it's mirrored through a blanket, so people feel better.
I'm super curious about that, but also I feel like I'd wake up one morning and like struggle to get out of it, and it'd be like sad. Like, it'd be like, you know what I mean? I'd like be panicking how I can't get out of it. So it's a two-way street.
I think a blanket's as cocoons, you know?
Yeah, cocoons.
Yeah, when I go to sleep, I wrap myself in my blanket, and then I hibernate. No, not hibernate. It's not the right word. Metamorphosize overnight. Yes. And then when I wake up in a completely different way that when I go to the mirror, as soon as I wake up in the morning, I can't recognize whether that's a girl or boy. That's what blankets do. They change you, you know, your physical appearance, at least for me.
Because you're just like so
tangled
up in it. It's just,
I'm groggy. Everybody looks
different though when they just wake up. Like their hair is not, their hair is crazy, and you know, your breath is bad. It's just not a good time.
Yeah. And I feel like my voice just goes down 2 octaves.
Yeah.
Right when I get up.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I think blankets are the culprit. If we slept without blankets, maybe that would solve our problems in the morning.
I don't think so. I think this is one of your theories that is very incorrect. Because then you'd be freezing and you'd still be tossing and turning.
Maybe you would be tossing and turning, but
intellect.
I don't know. I'll test it out. As an intellectual, Maddie, I will test my hypothesis out.
Okay. All right.
I'll make an if-then statement, too.
If-then. Yeah, I don't know where you're getting this theory from, but I applaud you. We got to test out your taste buds, though, for sure. We got to, give you some samples of water, and we definitely do that. And chocolates, because if you're just, like, some sort of, like, personified computer who knows exactly how to each brand and stuff like that, I'm gonna be amazed. We're gonna have to hide you from like scientists, like an ET.
Yeah, this show will show you whether I am a freak of nature or just a freak. I think that's a very important distinction that I'm also curious to find out about which category I am.
Wow,
I want to. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have learned a many of things, and I hope you have too.
I learned a many a thing as well.
Yes, about our world, and we provide just fantastic biting commentary on the issues of our day.
Mm-hmm.
We are total experts, so take everything we say very seriously.
Exactly.
And use it to make decisions. Mm-hmm. And
I got my PhD from Office Max, so.
Excellent.
My word is gospel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should make my PhD too. That'd
Cool. It's really easy. I can send you the template.
That would be great. You probably could. And then just like frame it and just put it in your background.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's such a good life hack, you guys.
Yes, one of the many hacks you will learn.
I don't know why our show will like go get their PhD. Like I literally could make one for you So.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, tune in next time.
Yes. Foo for us, foo for you, foo for y'all.
Oh my God.
Is that so like, good. Yeah, I was just experimenting. I'll be experimenting as the show goes on to see what feels right.
As the show goes on, we will get better at time management. We'll get better at commentating. This is just for fun. Yeah. For us to get our mind racing and moving during a period of time which is going to be very strange.
Mm-hmm.
And provide some levity, because obviously this is, I feel like I need to say this because we've had some laughs, but it is very serious what's happening, and make sure everybody's staying inside. We will get through it through
we'll get through it
through laughter. That's why we need Foo for Ra right now.
Exactly. We'll start up again next week, won't we?
Yeah, we will. We'll be there.
Okay, our next topics are also as fascinating, if not more fascinating, than what we discussed today.
The topic ideas. Mm-hmm. Let us know.
Exactly.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Hiya. Thanks for listening to our podcast, Foo for All. Our listeners' input is so essential to our show, kind of like dairy. Unless, of course, you are vegan or lactose intolerant. On second thought, that was a bad example. Anywho, please email us your ideas, your thoughts, your foofarah to foofarah.theworld@gmail.com. By the way, for copyright purposes, the name of the catchy tune we use in our intro is called Mouthful of Diamonds by Fantagram.